Okay. Thank you for being here tonight. I would really like to know what you're expecting tonight. Well, two responses. The rest of them your expectors turned down. I'm not too sure what I'm expecting tonight. Let's find out. Father, we come to you tonight. What we expect is you. Manifest yourself here tonight in the way you choose. Raise the dead. Seems like we have some of that here tonight. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Give wisdom. Give stability. Give understanding. Speak to those hearts where they need. And we all have a need tonight. Speak to the hearts. You're the only one that can touch every individual want, need tonight. We depend on you for that. Only you can do it. We expect to leave here changed in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says? Amen. Amen. I'm really struggling on what to do tonight. I've got something laid here in front of me. We're going to wing it. Go the one I gave you, not the one you had, the one I gave you, switch to that one. I want to talk to you tonight about how much God loves you. And we're going to be mostly no notes, because I think that's what I've been told. That's unusual for me because I don't really believe in it. I shouldn't say it that rough. But most speakers do not know when to end unless they have notes. That's why I stick close to notes, and then I still don't know when to end. But Monday I went to bed and it didn't work. And God had me preach a message for 3 hours while I was laying there in bed. Fortunately for her, she didn't get to hear it. I did it in the spirit. But and I have to edit it considerably, not just for time, but for content. Otherwise, we're going to have to ask the young people to leave. It's going to be a strictly, strictly mature audience. Love is a strange thing. It's not available except through God. I don't care how many times the word is used. If you don't know God, you don't know love. It's just that simple. That's why there are tremendous fights and divorces and conflicts constantly in the name of love. That's not love. God is the only one that is love, right? That's what your scripture says. I won't give you a lot of scriptures. I'm going to give you an awful lot of scriptures tonight. That's what I'm predicting. But I'm not going to call any of them out. Maybe that means it's time for you guys to get into the Word and recognize Word. How much God loves you. Let me make an introduction this way. We know who created the earth, right? Why did He create the earth? So we always go to Genesis 1:1 and say, in the beginning He created. All right, I'm asking you, why did He create the earth? For His glory? What's His glory's name? If you could, all right, there we go. If you could see 6,000 years in advance, that's about as far as we can understand right now. Anybody that talks about millions don't know what they're talking about. Just stick with what you have, which is the Bible. So six to 7,000 years, that's as far as we're going to talk about. Other than that, it becomes theory, and theory is what anybody can say and try to convince people to believe. If you could see 6,000 to 7,000 years in advance, and you could see this bride coming, And it was up to you to create a place for her. Would you do that? Would God do that? So now you know why the earth was created. So this is not going to be complicated things. It's going to be simple things that we just don't cover all the time. God created the earth. He called it Eden. And in that Eden, He planted a garden. That's what your scripture says. He planted the most beautiful thing on the face of the earth for the most beautiful thing on the face of the earth. Now, in case you don't want to accept that, I'll take it all. If He didn't see anything but me, He prepared it for me. And you guys, I'm going to give it to you, but you've got to take it to believe some of this stuff. Okay? He saw His bride. He fell in love instantly and said, "That's mine. I've got to prepare a place." He didn't say that in Revelation. He didn't say that in the New Testament. He said it in the Old. "I've got to prepare a place. A good place." How do I know that? I read in Jeremiah that every thoughts, that's all he can think about is good things for us. So when he saw us, he said, "I got to fix good things." Now I'm going to read a few quick scriptures here. If he's quick back there. So we can get a right start here. Genesis 1:1. And I'm going to try to read this short vision. God created the heaven and the earth. So it wasn't just the earth He created. Now, so far, as our evidence shows, there is no other reason for Him to create the heaven and the earth except me. Me is the bride. One. Not thousands. One. You understand that? As much as individualistic as we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. In John 1:1-4. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now I want to do something that I don't normally do. I don't want, since we're at the beginning, I want you to understand that not yet are we going to talk about the Trinity. Okay? I don't want to confuse the issue with the Trinity. If we know that the Word is Jesus, then we read it again. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we just took the three and put them back into one, just for tonight, okay? The same, verse 2. I'm reading King James, so if it looks a little different, that's fine. "The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3. "All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made." Whoops, there goes evolution. Nothing evolved. I talked to my son quite a bit on Monday, and he said, one of the things that's bothering us a lot is that we can remember when we used to get so mad at you because you would speak black and white. If you read it in the Scripture, it was that way and you weren't going to talk about it or hear it any other way. He said, the trouble is, that's where we are now. That's why we're mad, because it's taken us this long to get there. He said, my wife was just ranting and raving because in her church it was presented a little off key and it wasn't like the Scripture, and she was going on, and my son says, "You're getting like your father-in-law." All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. "And the Lord God," the very next thing, "the Lord God formed man of," okay, "and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Is the ground good? So He didn't take something that was going away because of heat or whatever. We're going to pump the oil out from under it or whatever silly thing. He took good and He made good. Yeah. Verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed." So we know that Eden was good, and we know the garden was good, and we know the man was good. Right? Why? I want you to get this tonight, because he loved. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Okay. Now, is God good?
Yes.
Whose image are we created in? Is God love? Whose image are we created in? So we got a corner on love. Is that correct? Nobody understands it unless they are birthed by him. It doesn't take long looking around to figure that one out when you see men trying to love men and women trying to love women and people putting more emphasis on animals than dogs, than people. I mean, it makes you want to irk sometimes. I love animals. They taste good. I don't know about people. Some of them, never mind. We won't go there. God blessed them. By the way, do you think God loves himself? Then if we're in his likeness and image, he loves us. We love him. We love ourselves. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Two things. When God created man in the garden, he created them naked as jaybirds. And they were not ashamed, the Bible says. You know what that means? That means God loves naked people. I'm in his likeness and image. I've told you before that my wife looks best naked. And I won't look at her because she'd be red. Why is it that way? Because God loves us naked. That means no other covering, not trying to hide anything, everything out in the open. Amen? Nothing hidden. We don't need foo-foo of any type to be beautiful to God. He saw us beautiful before he ever created us. He had an image of beauty and he created us in that image. What was the image? Of himself. Okay? Anybody that looks in the mirror and says, I don't like the way I look, then you must not like the way God looks. If you don't like the way you act, well, start acting like him. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, what does it say? All right. Now you need to say, I'm very good. I didn't know that before. I know it now. Say it. I didn't know it before. I know it now. I'm hot. Not because I say so, because God says so. And I would be a fool not to agree with him. Is that right? The enemy comes to steal and kill that vision, that word that's in you. You are to call him a liar and tell him to go away. Take that thought into captivity and cast it down. Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. What does finished mean? Can I tell you that it means you can't add anything else? So quit trying. I've told you you're beautiful. I've told you you're in God's image. Don't let anything be added or taken away from. It's finished. Genesis 2:15. This was our responsibility before the fall, and it still is in reality. Did I do that right? Yeah, Genesis 2:15. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Our job on this earth, on Eden, is to use it and care for it, not love it, not fear it. If we're made in God's likeness and image, we have dominion over the earth. I'm not going to run out of fossil fuel, not going to run out of oxygen, Not going to have the sea rise and drown me. There's a big blowhard running around the world saying, oh, global warming. Well, he's got to make money somehow. He just can't have mine because I don't believe a word he's saying. Genesis 2:18. Now, do you remember? I read you that God made man and woman. I got a little out of order. He made man. And now he's fixing to make woman. By the way, just so we'll get everything in order, you know, it's very important to have in your mind order. Because God does everything decently and in order. So his creation should understand decently and in order. Not according to tradition. Because the traditions of man negate the law of God. In your mind, they negate it, not in reality. So stay away from traditions. Okay, 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. See, he didn't know that yet. He was alone, and he had by this time named everything on the face of the earth. You understand? God gave him that position. He said, it's your responsibility. You name it. You call it what you want it to be, which is still the responsibility we have today. Understand, first Adam was given responsibility to name because God knew what you called it, you'd get. Okay? And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Women, listen to what I'm saying. You want a blessing in the earth, you better listen. You want to do a word study, you go ahead. You're going to find out what I found out. He made woman meet or worthy for Adam. That's how God held Adam in esteem. He had a high expectation and a high esteem for Adam. And he wasn't just going to make a servant. He wasn't going to make somebody that would just mop and sweep and bear fruit and pregnant. So he made something that was worthy to serve Adam. I don't care if you like that or not. That's exactly what meet means. But he brought her up to Adam's standards. Okay. So we make sure we understand both sides. He didn't make her 50-50 on that teaching. A little experience here. No business in the world works 50-50. Somebody has to break the tie. Anybody tells you that's God's decision, they're lying to you. Okay? He did not make her equal. He made her near equal. She may be just as smart. She may be smarter. You decide what you want there. I don't care. But I can tell you one thing. He didn't give her an equal vote. Why? Because he loved them enough so they wouldn't fight. And so we make our own decisions. They're equal, so we fight. Now, what he didn't do also was make her way down here. Adam had all the animals he needed to serve him. He did not make a woman equal to an animal. Okay? I hope we got that clear. Because when he saw her, he did not say, oh, one more animal to name. He said, whoa, man. Okay? Genesis 2:21-23. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Listen carefully. This is word. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs. A word study will tell you that means he took a side of man. The man no longer has it. The woman has it. When you see all these effeminate men, that is Satan moving back and trying to stuff the woman back in the man. You know why I don't understand women? Because I don't have to. It's been taken from me by one that's a lot smarter than society. I'm not going to try to get it back. I'm not going to be sensitive and touchy-feely. I'm not going to do it. I don't think that's being mean. I think that's being God. Okay, let's go on. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, or the side of man, and closed up the flesh after he did that. And the rib, or the side which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman, and brought her unto the man. The man didn't get up and start chasing the woman. He didn't say, "What's that smell?" Why is that important? For you to know that God wanted this to happen. He introduced, he brought her, made a special presentation. The rest of the animals he put out there and said, "Name them." But he brought the woman to the man. And Adam said, and Adam didn't have to be told this. He had an understanding, and he said, Now, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, shall be called woman. Because she was taken out of man. Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now you got it? We've got it. I set it up here. Heaven and earth made for God, made for this creation that God made. He perfected it on earth. He decided, I don't know why, he decided it was not good for man to live alone. If man would have been living alone, it would have been good. But he found a better way. He made them naked because that's the way he wanted them. Why? Because it was appealing to him and they were appealing to each other. Everything that you and I feel in flesh is a type and shadow of spirit. Do you understand type and shadow? It's a type of or a shadow of what goes on in the spirit. Everything. Everything. Do you know how God changed the earth? When he saw the darkness, when he saw the water and the land not divided, when he saw that it was not good, what did he do? He moved on. He moved on the face of the water and the face of the earth. It's the same word as he knew Mary. It's the same word. I could even get more detailed and tell you what the water and the land meant. But you don't need to know all of that. That's just trust me. When God wants something right, he moves on it. And life is created. It's the life of God. The life of Christ. It's birthed. When you move on your wife, the life of something is created. When a man moves on a man, death is created. The scripture says sickness, disease will be in that in those people. And so be it. It is. When a woman tries to move on a woman, the Bible just calls it perverted. I don't care what you call it. It's just perverted. Why? You're not plumbed right. The plumbing is all wrong. It's just messed up. And you know what the worst part is? The one that loved you and created you and provided you with the right feelings and provided you ability to consummate those feelings, you're spitting in his face. I hope this church gets strong in that area so sin shakes. Amen? Now, for as long as I can, I want to tell you what happened. Let's try to make this a high overview. God made perfect what he had made. He'd made it perfect. He made the earth not to destroy, no death in it, no decomposition, decay, nothing. He made man and woman to walk around in the garden freely. They can eat anything they want. Touch anything they want. They didn't know cactus. They didn't know cold. They didn't know heat. They didn't know spider bites. They didn't know any of that because it wasn't there. They were not there to procreate, but they were to be fruitful and multiply. It's a different thing. The reason they didn't procreate is because there was no death. There was no need of reproduction, as in heaven. I got to be careful here. You understand? We can zap over to heaven and there's no male or female. So what has happened? What has happened is we've gone back to perfection. You know why that is? One with God. We're no longer. Anyway, God made it perfect. Who messed it up? How? Disobedience. See, one thing, what he disobeyed in Let me back up and start this again. Every tree with fruit on it, everything that was edible, was good. There was nothing wrong with the tree that they ate. It was beautiful. It states in the Word. God said everything out there is good to eat. He didn't say except that one right there that's got poison in it, because God don't know how to make anything with poison in it. Not even you. He doesn't know how to make you bad. He doesn't know how to put bad in you. He made you perfect. The only thing He does is He puts, so that you're not zombies, robots, He gives you free will. So right over here, He said, now, if you eat of that, you're going to get some knowledge you really don't want. That's what He said. You're going to get some stuff on you you really don't want. Trust me. And they didn't. And the minute they ate of that, there was death that entered the world. Death entered into the world. Let me tell you one thing you cannot do. There is no such thing as classified or qualified sin. There's only one sin. Only one. Not one worse than the other. If we were trying to make money off of sin, we'd classify it and tell you, for this sin, you got to buy 5 candles, and for this one, you got to buy 10, and for this one, you can buy 25, and for this one, you got to go all the way to Corpus on your knees. And you got to throw an extra 100 in the offering plate. It's dangerous for ministers to say there's only one sin. But it's safe. It's truth. Well, then you don't have to spend a lot of time repenting. You just know what to repent for. One thing. I'm sorry I disobeyed you. Because they did this, for God so loved the world. How many times in the Old Testament did He show how much He loved His people? He spent the whole Old Testament doing it, didn't He? You got to understand, His job is not to send you to hell. He had too many opportunities. He didn't have a job. He just loves. We created extra work for Him. What? Well, we're so goofy we won't trust Him, so He has to prove His love over and over and over. He has to divide seas. He has to make water come out of rocks. He has to make manna come from heaven. He has to make light when it's dark. And He has to put shade when it's light. And He has to give you shoes that won't wear out. This is how much God loves us. You know, it wouldn't hurt for you to make a little thank you, God, once in a while. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about the Old Testament. I'm talking about now. He tried to provide us another Eden, called the Promised Land, and He had the hardest time in the world trying to get us back there. And when He'd done so many things, now listen to me carefully, when He had done so many things to prove His love, and we still don't appreciate that enough, He said, I got to do something else. He said, I've made some laws to cover sin. Now I've got to do something to remove it. I've got to do something to wash it away. Do you remember I have said very clearly to you, we're going to be oneness right now. We're not going to be Trinity. Not for long, just for now. God, listen to me. He couldn't do it in God form, so He took man form. And here's what He did for us. We won't do this theologically. Just as He saw 7,000 years, His bride, and what they looked like and what He wanted for them, He also saw what He didn't want for them. And so He became man. Who's supposed to be the covering in my house, me or her? Why is that? Why, when God made man, did He make her a lot tougher than a woman? Now, if the world's told you different, you Don't get in a fight with a man. You won't like the result. Men don't even like it when they get in fight with men because they don't like the results. But women, oh shoot, you're out of your pay grade. What God saw was the enemy killing, stealing, and destroying. That's what God saw. And He literally created a man body and threw it in the front of every weapon formed. He shielded His bride from fiery darts, from accusations, from sickness, from disease, from death and destruction. Listen to me. You've got to get out of your little calendar mind for a second. He looked across, if I want to get real slick, I can say across eternity. And He saw every fiery dart that was coming your way. And He threw Himself in front of it and took it for you. Every sword, every physical and spiritual attack, He took it upon His physical body. Do you hear me? Then how come you're not saying thank you, Jesus? Oh, you need to get louder than that. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. This is what God did for you. And the part that we can't understand but we must believe is even the things to come, He's already taken it. He's already shielded us from us. And if you believe what I just told you, then there's no more fight. There's no fight. Because He said, if you will only believe. He didn't say if you prayed a lot, if you fasted a lot, if you tithed a lot. He didn't say that. He said if you'll only believe. Get off your knees. Get off your prayer bones, because I did it before you even asked. I know your needs before you ask. Get up, bride. Remember what I told you, what level He created the bride? Am I the bride? Am I equal to God? So if I want to get at His ankles and feet and start kissing His feet, what's He going to want me to do? Stand up, be His helpmeet, proud, beautiful, as He created, and all I have to do is believe, eat from the same things that He eats, enjoy the same thing that He enjoys. Not trying to work at it, just believing it. I'm talking real stuff. I'm talking real stuff. And He's not, see, there's no more story to tell. I've just told you the whole story about what He's done. Remember when I said, He said it was finished? What did Jesus say? And the last thing He said, with a loud voice, not a weakling fixing to die. If we don't ever learn any scripture in the Bible, just learn it is finished. And all you have to do is reverberate that so that the enemy hears. It's finished. I want you to use Jesus' name, but you don't even have to. You don't think He knows that sound, it is finished? Causes Him to shake. We can make the building shake with Jesus' name. I can make the enemy, I can bring to his remembrance what happened to him 2,000 years ago. It's finished. No, I don't have to fight. I don't have to worry. So what's there to look forward to? Every blessing that the enemy was after, we secured, or Jesus secured for us. Amen? See, you remember when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place? Well, can I submit to you that He said that before you were born? Can I remind you of something? Maybe you'll see the purpose, but maybe you won't. But heaven is the garden. It always has been. It always will be. Because God made it that beautiful, that perfect. The first thing He did for His bride, He prepared the place. And He had to take it away from, it's hard to talk about spiritual things. You got to go beyond yourself to understand. But let's just say right now that your physical eyes cannot behold it because your physical eyes are from sin. Does that make sense to you? And you will never behold heaven until your physical eyes are gone, which means you're back into His true likeness and image. Please, if you know somebody, if you're one, would you drop the word rapture? Never say it again. It is not in your Bible. Please don't quote it. It's not there. And the people that are quoting that have their bags packed to go somewhere. And God is not, He didn't tell Adam, keep your bags packed, I'm going to come quick. He said, you stay here and you tend. Well, how about streets of gold? How about, have you ever read the Bible? How about, have you read that scripture that says, look, that's the New Jerusalem coming down. It's the bride of Christ coming down. Did you know your Bible says that? It doesn't say the bride's going up. It says, what about the great catching away? It says they're caught up in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means flesh is not in the way anymore.
Amen.
You know why you must believe this way? Because it gives you an opportunity to try to get closer right now. When you remove some of your flesh ways, you get closer to the Spirit ways, where the Spirit lives. God saw. He prepared the place. Well, is He coming back? Why don't we not talk about things we don't know? Why don't we talk about things we do know? Let's assume that there's a place and a time where flesh is sent to hell. Can I ask you what this world would look like if all flesh is in hell? There's no more accuser. That's a promise in your word. You don't know how much scripture I'm giving you tonight. There's no more pain. There's no more death. There's no more hurt. There's no more threats. Would this be a bad place? Well, why would I want to leave? Everything would be beautiful. We wouldn't worry about blizzards. We wouldn't worry about 105 heat indexes. I wouldn't worry about rain. I wouldn't worry about snow. I wouldn't worry about weeds. I wouldn't worry about stepping in dog stuff. Are you hearing me? Everything that bothers you is gone. Because in the true spirit realm, you can't be touched. You can't be touched. Where do you think God wants us? Now let me tell you, the Bible, I will guarantee you this. God does not have a calendar on His wall, and especially He does not have a calendar on His wall with a circle, a day circle, saying, this is when I'm coming back. If you learn that someplace, I don't know. You stop learning that stuff. It's not in your Bible. Let me tell you what He does have. He's got promises in the Word that says, bride, when you accomplish certain things, I'm coming. Did you hear me? So it's up to us. Is that new to any of you? Because it's your Bible. It's plain as day. I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Now here's what God's doing. He's going, and He's looking. His eyes run to and fro. What's He looking for? Without spot or wrinkle. One that prays a lot. Not the way we've seen it. Not the way we've seen it. But they pray without ceasing. Do you understand? When you are to be able to walk this earth, when the church begins to walk this earth, how many brides does it take in this position, praying without ceasing, before God comes back? You're talking about physical bodies now, and I don't know. But I know when we become one. How many? I don't know. I don't know. 1%? 10%? The highest figures you can find in the Bible is 50%, and I don't even believe it'll be that high. Because it says wide and narrow, many and few. You hear what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you, there's a few. You know when my wife is the prettiest? No. That's right. You're right there. But on a daily basis, when she gets up on Sunday morning and she bathes and she foo-foos everything, she primps and pushes and shoves and puts on robes of righteousness and she puts on the adornment that God has given her. And she looks good to me right about that time. It's about that time when I don't want to go to church. It's better here. You remember what I said? Everything in man and woman is a type and shadow of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to tell you, one day God's going to say, "Ooh, they're looking good. I don't think I want to go anymore. I don't want to wait any longer. This bride has turned me on so much, I can't take it no more." His English is better than mine. Did you hear me? You are engaged at this moment, but you ain't wed yet. You want to know why there's so many beautiful voices making so much beautiful noise and there's so much, "You are worthy." You want to know why all those beautiful things are being said? The consummation occurs. And the bride can't do anything else but just moan. Are you hearing me? And we're going to do it for eternity. Whew. They try to sell Viagra that for here. And then they warn you if it lasts very long, go to the hospital. In eternity, it's forever. It's forever. God don't need no Viagra. For 7,000 years, He's been waiting. You hear me? And you've been beautiful. But you're never as beautiful as you are on that day, whatever that day is. And what He's going to do is every piece of trash that we've allowed on this earth, He's going to send it to hell. And every piece of flesh that we've had to carry around is no longer with us. And all of that flesh that Jesus said would always be with you is now gone. We don't need to go anywhere. If He wants to take me somewhere, I'm going. But in case I'm right, I'm staying. Do you hear me? And you can dream about heaven. You can think about all these things you're going to do in heaven. But somebody's got to keep saying, "Glory, glory." I think I want to be that. There's no more male or female because we've now become we become one in the Spirit. We become one with God truly. Type and shadow, flesh and spirit, you like that? Do you want me to tell you something that'll just startle you women and most of you men? You men can have as many wives as you want to, but you women can only have one husband ever. That's what the Bible says. Remember I said type and shadow. I'm not preaching law. I'm preaching type and shadow. If you ever take another husband, it's adultery. Can God forgive that? Sure. We're talking type and shadow. I'm not trying to send anybody into some convulsion here. Let me tell you why. The why is because God's got to have all of us. But we can only have one God. You hear me? That's why right there it says, if you like to read law, well, you read the law and you'll understand what I'm saying. Then to bring it more, his church more like him, he tells elders and deacons, presbyters, episcopals, and said you must have one wife. God wants one bride. He wants it made up of, I don't know how many, but He wants you to be one. Now let me tell you some good stuff. My mom and dad were married 65 years. My mom's side of the family is very prophetic. Can look and see things like an older person can, which is my problem. I look and see things like differently than everybody else. And when my dad died, And she came in. She'd pretty quiet up until then. And when she went and looked at him in the coffin, she said, "The next time I see you, you will be 18 years old." I'm going, what in the... 18 years old. Okay? Don't argue with people that are further down the road than you, because they're seeing some things that you don't see. We didn't know it, but she was within 40 days of being with him. She was already looking on the other side, because she didn't want anything more to do with this side. There was her life. She was through. Well, there's not going to be any male or female in heaven. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. They're going to be one. More so than they ever were here. You hear? If we could ever... See, we can't get male and female out of our mind here. At least I can. Not yet. I'm not really looking to. But what I can do is try to understand what's going to be. She saw something that was a lot prettier than the life here. I don't even know if they knew each other when they were 18. I thought it was 19. Just dawned on me. Didn't make any difference. She was seeing him at when she first saw him. That's the way I looked at it. 7,000 years ago, God looked at us with no sin. So he saw nothing but pure, pure beauty. We may have botched it up, but it makes no difference. You know, mom and dad, as they got older, they got closer, not further apart. You understand what I mean by that? If there hadn't been any flesh, their whole life they'd have been madly in love with each other, with not only the spiritual part, but the physical part. God looked all the way across what we understand as eternity, because we still are calendar equipped, and saw his beauty. Did you hear me? He saw his beauty. At what age? Already one. Already one. Already one. What little spirit realm we experience right now is a little bit of glimpse of what God saw way back then. Does that make sense to y'all? Does it encourage you any at all? You don't have to understand a cotton-picking thing I said. You just have to believe. I promise what I told you tonight was the truth. Because the truth kept me awake 3 hours the other night. I need to explain something. When I stayed in the Word tremendous amounts of time for, seemed like forever, not knowing why, and one day, or one night, it's always been at night, God came and preached a message through me. Call it a dream, call it a vision, call it what you want. It was real to me. And I saw the audience, and I saw the faces, and I saw the results. So I had the message ready. As soon as the door opened, I preached it. And that happened very often. And it's been a while since that's happened. All of a sudden, I end up with 3 hours sleep. And it was worth every minute of it. And if you know I went for 3 hours, you know I didn't tell you everything I saw. I didn't figure you could handle it. I can't hardly. Tell me you got it. Tell me you got it. You get how beautiful you are? How important you are? I'll bring it back to you again. When God created woman, listen carefully. He took a side of man and made her. When God saw the bride of that he made, he made her, and he's making her out of his side. Type and shadow, type and shadow. How can we be one with God? Well, with type and shadow, we already are. But oh, when that day comes, it's not going to be easy to understand how we become one again. Because he just says, "Rib, jump back in. You hear me? I first must understand who I am before I can become who I am. If you see yourself as something else, you're going to become that." And I think what God wants us to understand is how important we are right now and how much we must receive that. God has something mighty, mighty for this church to do. And it cannot do it on enthusiasm. It has to do it on truth. I'm not here to make you feel good. Wisdom and stability, right? That's what we're here for? Well, I'm telling you something. The smartest thing you'll ever do is believe what I've told you tonight. The second smartest is to get the CD and listen to it again. And then again. Because the enemy's going to come and try to steal what I've told you tonight. Why? Because he don't want you getting too big for his britches. He wants to keep you in place. You hear what I'm telling you? Well, don't. Hear what God tells you. He can't do the work through you now that he wants to do until you understand you are not his subservient. You're someone that is near equal to him, made to serve him. You don't have a vote. Believe me, you don't want one. When you're dealing with somebody as smart as God, you don't want to vote. You prove your wisdom by saying, yes, sir. And what he's going to ask you to do is make more just like you. Remember what I told you? When the Spirit of God moves on you, it's for the life of Christ being coming from you. Do you have that? We're not here to feel good. I'm not put here to laugh, which is great. I'm not here to get drunk in the Spirit, which is okay. All of this is okay. I'm here, though, for wisdom and stability. Truth. What does truth do for you? It gives you peace that passes all understanding. As soon as we get the peace that passes understanding, we can party hardy. Otherwise, we're just partying. When we party hardy, that means there's life being formed. The life of Christ is coming out. To what? Create more life in Christ. Amen. In who? Others. Yes. Others. Yes. I don't care about Romans Road. I don't want you memorizing Scripture so you can go out and pound on somebody's head. I want you to be caught up in the Spirit so when it's time, the life of Christ will just bust out of you all over somebody.
Amen.
Y'all stand with me. I told you, I don't know it ends, so I got to quit. It's a difference. Now, I don't think we need to pray about anything that I just said. I don't think you need to pray. If you have called me a kook or a fool or a liar, then you repent right where you are. Because I might get mad at you if you come down. Seriously, though, if you have thought less of yourself than you should, repent. Say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I have made myself less than you made me. And I'm not going to do that anymore. And when the enemy says you're wrong, I'm not going to fall for that. And when he says you're not capable, I'm not falling for that. And when he says you're sick, I'm not falling for that. Remember, God said it was finished. You heard Jesus say it was finished. You just need to back up what has already been spoken by the Father and the Son. It's finished. I'm not going to work at this. I'm going to work at believing what I already know is done. I don't have to get saved every night. I don't have to just stay on my prayer bones all the time. Because I can't. You don't know all some of the stuff I want to say, and I can't. But we were not made to operate on our knees. Okay? I wasn't. If y'all have a special calling, that's you. But man, on my knees, I don't work anything in my brain figuring out how I'm going to get back up. My knees were not, they didn't come church padded. Do you hear me? Pain will stop me from praying. I wasn't made for it. Stand up. When you talk to God, look up. Don't look down. If you're looking down, you may be talking to the wrong person. Get childlike in your belief. Don't close your eyes unless there's something there that's bothering you. Open your eyes and see what God's fixing to do. Get alone. Get quiet. Listen. My goodness, the best part of prayer is listening, not talking. If you will pray as long as Jesus did in his ideal prayer to you, then listen the rest of the time. You'll be in good shape. Your Bible was given to you by who? By God Himself. And you know what's in there? Promises and love letters. That's what it is. You know what the promises are? If you'll just do that, I'm looking forward to doing this for you. Please, if you'll just do this, I want to give you the world. And we're going to go along with this for a while, but you just wait. All you got on is an engagement ring. You wait till I slip that other band on. And I can't do it until you're ready, because you can't handle it until you're ready. You do understand that, don't you? But that's what the wait is about. When you finally believe who you are, you start taking down those things that are keeping you from the very presence of God. I got to let you go. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Father, husband, lover, one that loves me more than I love me, one that has a better future than I can ever imagine, planned, and is operating in that right now. I trust you, Lord. I trust that what you've shown me and what I've given these people is the truth. I trust that if we'll only believe, we will have what we believe. Teach us to lock onto these words. Holy Spirit, hide them deep in our hearts and our minds, so deep that we get angry for that word if anything comes against it. We don't sin, but we get angry. And that this word will cause for the rest of our lives, will cause us to walk differently, think differently, talk differently. Know that this is our world. With all of our hearts, we want to serve you. With all of our hearts, we're looking forward to the day that we no longer are in this flesh body. But in the meantime, if this flesh body's got to be burned up, let it be burned up for you. Let it be used up for you. Let all of our energy and all of our thought processes be pointed towards you and for you. And forever, we will eternally be grateful that you do this in and through us. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Praise the Lord. It's time. Say thank you, Jesus.